Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the second Sunday after Trinity comes from our Gospel reading of Luke. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." Thus far the text. "Come to the feast. Come. It's prepared. What has been promised is now ready. You won't taste anything like this anywhere else. It's the finest of food. It's the best of wine. Come. You have been invited. It's the banquet of the century. All the best of the best are going to be there. Everyone who is anyone. Don't be the only one left at home. Left rejecting this wonderful invitation to the banquet to end all banquets. Come, come and enjoy this wonderful gift." You can almost hear the servant saying these words as he makes his way through the town and into the homes of the invited guests. Surely there would be no one who would reject such a generous invitation. Surely there's no excuse that could or would be given. But amazingly, though, excuses abound. Left and right they come. Each house that he goes to, he is met with another excuse that is different, but seemingly is valid. One right after another has reason enough to stay away. "Oh no, I cannot be there. Excuse my absence. But I will not be able to attend." It's weird. It's not like this was a last-minute invite to a party that just happened on the spur of a moment. This thing has been planned for quite a long time. And everyone invited had received their invitation in the mail with ample time to work out their busy schedules around it. And it's not like this is an invite from some no-name that no one had ever heard of before. This man is an important man, perhaps the most important man in the whole city. He's a good man, a great man. He's a lord. And he's opening up his house in order that he might throw a feast to end all feasts. And it's not even a potluck. No guest is expected to bring along their tater tot hot dish or jello salad, not even a bottle of wine. Come as you are, as you were, as he wants you to be. Just bring yourself, that's it. But one man has just bought a piece of land. He has to go out of town to go see it. The next guy, he purchased 10 oxen, a small herd. He has to make sure that he got what he paid for. And another just got married. He's going to be too busy to make the feast that day. But you know, the land is going to be there tomorrow. It isn't going anywhere. The oxen, they can always be appraised another time. He's gotten along this far without them. What's another day? And goodness, bring your wife. Bring your kids. Bring your friends and your family and your neighbors. There's plenty of room. The answer is still no. None of these guys are going to be able to make it. And even though they were the invited ones, who should have no excuse whatsoever, an excuse they have. And that excuse they demand will excuse them from the feast. There's a crude little saying about excuses. It boils down to the fact that they all stink. But everyone has them, and we all do our best to give them every single time the master of the house comes calling. "Come to the feast," the master says. "But the kids have a soccer game. I'm going to be out of town on vacation. Last week was a doozy, and I've got a lot of sleep to catch up on." Or chores, or whatever else. Or, well, goodness, let's just be frank here for a moment. We don't want to come to the feast. That's what it all boils down to. That's the ultimate reality. We, even me, would rather be anywhere than receiving the gifts of this generous man who's throwing a banquet. And if I hadn't just bought a piece of land or 10 oxen, I could easily find 80 other excuses that would excuse me and justify my absence. The question in this parable isn't whether or not any particular excuse is legitimate. The question is any excuse legitimate? And the answer is no. There's no reason not to be at the feast. No matter what you dream up, it will never excuse you from this man's party. The feast must be kept. The master's house must be filled to the brim, bursting with people. So fine, the master says to his servant, go out to the highways and byways of the city and invite everyone you see. And after that's done, go outside of the city and invite that stranger passing by and the sojourner who doesn't even know I exist. All of these worthy people who had been invited, they want nothing to do with me. Well then, fine, go and invite all of the people who aren't worthy. Go and find the type of people who would never receive an invitation from the likes of them who just rejected mine. You know the types, the undesirables, the weirdos, the undeserving, the ones who couldn't in a million years ever throw a party like this and wouldn't ever dream to be invited to one. Go and bring in the lame and the weak. Get those tax collectors and prostitutes, the foreigners and the Gentiles. Go bring in the sinners. You heard what I said. Go get the sinners. Their only excuse will be that they aren't worthy to be there. But I tell you, that's the exact type of people that I want at my party, at my table. And let them know that they are worthy because I have invited them. And my feast awaits them. Jesus, he tells this parable while he's sitting at supper on a Sabbath. He's been invited by the ruler of the Pharisees. All around him are the good people, the best people, the type of people who are worthy to be there. And you know it just by looking at them. The ruler of the Pharisees only invited the worthy ones. There wasn't a single undesirable person among them, except if you look at the beginning of this chapter, there's a man with dropsy who's there. And he seems to have been planted by the Pharisees. Because today, like I said, was the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are watching Jesus quite closely. They're curious if he's going to break the third commandment and heal this poor man on this holy day. See, these were the types of people who seemed to have everything right and yet had everything wrong. They had made it there on their own. They had climbed the ladder of success, and they had made sure that everyone around them knew the type of people, good people, they were. And they're looking at Jesus to see if he was worthy to be in their presence. And by the end of it all, by the end of this banquet of the Pharisees, they're quite sure that he wasn't worthy to be amongst them. And that's the way of the self-righteous sinner. He has no idea that he's a sinner because he believes that he has done everything necessary to earn that place at the table. Yeah, sure, Jesus might be there beside them, but that's only because he has invited him. The only time the self-righteous sinner has for Jesus is the time that he deems worthy to share with him. Yes, Jesus might have a place in his life, but it's a place that he's carved out. Fit in here, Jesus. In this small little block that I've hewn out for you, and don't go outside of your box either. If you do, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And when you leave, Know for certain that I don't have any time to come to your little parties, the ones that you throw. I won't have time to come to your banquet. You'll have to excuse me. Did you hear that, Jesus? You will excuse me, because I don't really have to come to your stupid little feast. I'm good on my own. If I want you in my life, I'll ask for you. When I have time. When I have need. Doubtfully that'll ever happen, but if it does, know for certain, Jesus, that it's me who's asking you and not the other way around. It doesn't seem as if Jesus has much time for these self-righteous sort of people. He would much rather throw a party of his own and invite those undesirables who aren't worthy to come to his banquet, let alone the banquet of the Pharisees. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He throws his own banquet. And he lets it be known that the doors are open for everyone. You, who have never been invited to the party of the perfect people, come to Jesus' feast. You, who have never been able to keep the law, come to Jesus' feast. You, who have never been able to make yourself worthy, come to Jesus' feast. You who are full of sin, you who are convicted of guilt, covered in shame, you who are dying in your own sin, tempted by the devil with those vicious lies that tell you that you don't deserve anything gracious or merciful at all, you come to Jesus' feast. At the beginning of our reading, a man says, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And with these words, this man is saying, blessed is everyone who's worthy enough to make it to heaven. Blessed is everyone who's worthy enough and good enough and perfect enough to earn a place at the banquet table. But this guy, he has it all wrong. Those worthy people aren't worthy at all because they've all rejected the very kingdom of God. They've rejected Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that he offers at that banquet. So Jesus, he takes this pithy little saying, and he makes it his own. And he says, blessed are those who are not worthy. Blessed are those who are found in the streets and lanes of the city. And blessed are those who are found in the highways and hedges outside of the city. Blessed are those who have long ago stopped trying to earn a place in heaven because it's so abundantly clear that there's no earning of heaven to be done. It can't be done, no matter how hard you try. Blessed are the lame and the diseased, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, the infirmed, the foreigners, the Gentiles. Blessed is the unworthy sinner, for he will eat bread in the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is Jesus. You see, it's Jesus who makes you worthy. It's his invitation and it's his banquet. Like always, it's his work, it's not yours. Him inviting, not us. Him preparing a feast, not us. Him deeming who is worthy and who is not us. Him forgiving sins, not us doing a good job with the law so that we don't need our sins forgiven. It's him baptizing, and it's him preaching, and it's him absolving, and it's his feast. And he does it all for you. So yes, come. Come to his banquet. Everything's now ready. In the name of Jesus.